Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat, another day up and at 'em. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio and, of course, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Pedro Gomez will join us in about 15 minutes. ESPN baseball analyst Pedro Gomez every week on this show. The trade deadline, we're about 50 hours away from the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. And what will the Arizona Diamondbacks do? What should they do? Are teams circling around, sensing? You have Kevin Towers here, and it's always the last deal that people remember in the industry. Or is it, well, you know, the Justin Upton deal didn't really work out, or, you know, the Trevor Cahill thing, or, you know, is there pressure on Kevin Towers to get this right? Does he not even have anything to do with this now? Is this all Tony La Russa? And why would the Diamondbacks sit pat? I mean, really, why would they stand pat here? Unless teams are coming at them saying, we'll take Trevor Cahill, who can't get anybody out. So we'll go into that with Pedro. In hour number two, Kevin Stevenson's going to be with us today on our Arizona United SC segment. We talk soccer every week here, as the soccer is a growing sport in the state of Arizona, and I'm just right there at the front of it. It's funny, I was with a broadcast executive, big media company. This was over a cup of coffee last week, and he said to me, boy, you do a lot of things that aren't typical. Yeah, because no one else is, and there is interest out there, believe it or not. I mean, I could sit here all day long and do Bobby Massey, Bobby Massey, Bobby Massey till I'm just blue in the face. And it's like, if I'm talking about the right tackle over and over and over with the Cardinals and nothing else, it's just silly. So we will talk United with Kevin Stevenson, the general manager. It's a pretty good story. I mean, actually a really good story with Kevin Stevenson as to where he was. He was at Duke, the captain of the soccer team at Duke. And is Duke basketball just overshadow everything else? I've heard about Duke lacrosse. Duke football now is pretty big. But he's come out here with Michael De La Russa and has done a terrific job. That'll be in hour number two. There's a lot on my mind today. I'm bothered by the situation that I started seeing yesterday afternoon with John Abraham and then PJ Tucker a short time later. And we're not going to sit here and just gloss over this. Having two major teams, athletes that have been popped for a DUI, and it didn't come out over the weekend. Both situations happened over a month ago, which just lets you know that these teams don't want you to see this side of it. They just don't. There's not going to be a release that he was popped and we're going to suspend him. They're not going to be out front on this. This stuff has to be dug up, researched, found out, eventually leaked. And it's very disappointing when it comes out like that. But that's just the world we live in now in sports. It's supposed to be the world of fun and games. I don't want to know about all the things, Brad. I don't want to see the underbelly. Well, you know what? When you're out there supporting these teams and you're seeing these guys and you find out that one of them, who I like as a basketball player a lot, but I'm sorry, when you get a super extreme DUI, I mean, that's just beyond ridiculous. And there's much more that I have on that coming up here in a couple minutes. So let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, where the Coldwater Classic is going on right now through the end of August. It's about 30 days to go, guys. You need to get out of the valley. You need to get out of the heat or wherever you're taking the show in. Head up outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and take part in the Coldwater Classic right through August 30th, the Coldwater Classic competition. This contest open to all ages, except only fish that are 18 inches long or longer. They have weekly super prizes, cash prizes for catching fish. Why not stay at the Honda Resort and Casino? Pull down on that slot, win some money, go out during the day, catch some fish, win some money. You talk about getting away from it all. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, Honda Outdoor Sports as well, Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Pedro Gomez in about 10 minutes on the deadline and much more. So I want to go back on the police blotter. So let's start with, it's just put both these guys together because we're not going to separate them because one guy was super extreme DUI and one guy was just on the front of being DUI doesn't excuse that they were both DUI. I don't know, guys. Is it just me or is it it just seemed really hard to comprehend. Maybe when you're in your 20s and early 30s and you have some cash, you don't understand the, I'm going to get a driver at $50 an hour or $100 an hour. And I'm going to go with the driver is going to drive me to these places. And then I'm going to go out and I'm going to have a few pops because that's what I want to do. That's who I am. I'm going to go to Scottsdale and I'm going to go to Merck and I'm going to go to the W and I'm going to be seen and it's going to be cool. Or I'm going to be in Atlanta and it's going to be fine. Nothing's going to happen to me. But instead, we have guys that put on uniforms for teams right here in our city. PJ Tucker is with the Phoenix Suns. John Abraham is with your Arizona Cardinals. I don't think these guys understand that you can say, quote, I don't need another drink, end quote. It's not really that hard. Why is it I have to sit here and go through this over and over and over and over and over? You know, when Charles Barkley got popped for his DUI in Scottsdale, I'm the same way. He made a mistake. He moved forward. I wasn't happy. Inexcusable. Stephon Marbury, big Stephon Marbury, driving around at 3 a.m. in his bright red car, popped in Scottsdale. But, you know, we just care about the games. Well, you know, if you're really into this, or if you're just kind of sort of, well, you know, I'm still going to wear the jersey of the player. We're just going to skate on by this. We're not really going to make that big of a deal because people don't want to know about this. Well, you know, I disagree with that. People should know that these guys go do things like this. What you do in your own household, that's your deal. When you get a super extreme DUI, and if you didn't, I never heard of a super extreme DUI. Never have. 0.8 is considered legally drunk in Arizona. Our guy PJ Tucker checked in with a blood alcohol content of 0.222. So if I'm sitting there doing the math with my son as we do every morning, 0.8 to 0.222, it's almost, you know, 8 times 3 is 24. We're almost at 24 there. And so he, according to the report, PJ Tucker had some trouble with the walk and turn test. He stumbled, caught himself on a construction fence. Why, of course he did, and he was driving. Then you have John Abraham. I'm not going to let him off either. Arrested June 29th. John Abraham's a heck of a football player. Pretty much has an issue off the field if it's the second time with a DUI. And some of you are going to say, well, who are you to talk? Who are you to judge? I'm going to sit here and point this stuff out, that when our heroes in town do things like this that could have harmed other people and don't get it. And what type of punishment will come down from the organization? Will there be suspensions? It's like going through the Ray Rice thing this weekend. If that doesn't open your eyes up to professional sports, and in particular the NFL and their whole view of dealing with spousal abuse, we're just going to give them a 2-game suspension? I mean, come on. I mean, it's not been pleasant. It's not been pretty. And I'm not going to sit here and go on and on about Carson Palmer throwing to John Brown when this is the stuff that is at the front that needs to be addressed. The football part on the field, this would be fine. It'd be fine. But it's disgusting to me that we just kind of look at these guys that are supposedly grown up and they get into legal trouble for doing things that could have been prevented by simply saying, you know, I probably shouldn't have another drink, or I have a driver out front. And it happens over and over again. We had the whole nightmare of Darryl Washington earlier this year. Nice effort. Of course, the Cardinals need John Abraham at linebacker. Come on, Brad, let's talk about the impact on the field. So that's on my mind today in a big way. On the field, so Eric Winston signed this morning with the Seattle Seahawks. For those of you that have been watching the Cardinals, you know full well that their offensive line has been a mystery at best, an adventure. It's much better now, at least as we sit here at the start of training camp, even though Lyle Sendlein goes down yesterday with a bit of an injury, a calf. But I do think it's interesting that Eric Winston was signed by the Seahawks today and that Bobby Massey, basically Bobby Massey's got to work out at right tackle. It their safety net there. They can always go find other players. I thought Eric Winston was a serviceable veteran for them last season. The other story on the Cardinals that's of interest to me is Sam Acho. Sam Acho, we'll hear from him a little bit later on in the show, and him coming back. I saw Sam, actually emceed an event with Sam last December, and he was in a really good way. He's in a really good way. So I'm going to get into that a little bit later on the show. The basketball front, Kevin Love, there's some new stuff going on with Kevin Love, and the Suns are not part of it. The Suns can keep all this cap space, and they can talk about how they're building towards the future. It just appears to me that this is another year of we're going to try to get better. We're going to surprise everybody. Well, you know, we found a way to win 48 games last year. That doesn't mean you're going to do it again. Teams in the West, I think, have improved. I don't think they've regressed. Have a lot of young players. I'm sure, I keep saying I trust Ryan McDonough. I don't trust some of the people around him still at all, but I trust what he's all about. And I just wonder why it is the Suns have not been linked to Kevin Love in any way, shape, or form. None. Now Philadelphia is being talked about with Kevin Love. I sat through most of the Diamondbacks game last night. That was a really rough showing. I don't know if you watched the game. So fans at Cincinnati last night, they did something a little bit different that I hadn't seen before. They had their phones out, and they were all using their flashes on their phones together. The fans all were. It was kind of cool. It was like, okay, here's something different. Only thing is, it's like doing the wave when your team is at the plate. Their guy was at the plate. It was different, though, but it wasn't just a few fans. It was like most of the stadium was flashing their camera phone, the little flasher on it. Trevor Cahill's pitching tonight. I'll save you the time. Game starts at what? I think it's 4? Jordy, is it 4? Is it 4 o'clock today for the Diamondbacks? It's 4 or 4:30? Game's Cincinnati.
I believe so. Let me confirm.
Yeah, please confirm. Yeah. 4 or 4:30. Just work on that. Eric would not know either, so don't feel bad. Trevor Cahill is starting tonight for the Diamondbacks. Big Trevor is 0-5 in his last 6 starts. Trevor is 1-7 this season. He's been an absolute train wreck. And I'll save you the time. If the game starts at 4, I'd say by about 5:15, he'll be out of the game. He'll do his 3 2/3 or 4 1/3. He'll get his, you know, give up his 8 hits. More importantly, he'll give up his 4 walks and he'll have his 2 strikeouts. We have a time?
4:10.
4:10. So let's see, they lead off and they haven't been very good offensively. The Reds aren't very good offensively. Maybe this is a good spot for Trevor Cahill because the Reds can't hit to save their lives. Last night was just like, come on, guys, anybody hit the ball. But Cahill by about 5, I give him an hour and 10 minutes. He'll be out. On the other side, Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, joins us next. The trade deadline is about 50 hours away. Where are the Diamondbacks at on this? Is there pressure on Kevin Towers? Is there a perception that Diamondbacks need to make deals so teams are circling? The Montero home plate play. And then some of the national stuff. John Lester, Matt Kemp, how's that deal working out for the Red Sox and Dodgers that's being talked about, and much more. I'm Brad Sussmat, Monday through Friday, right here for a couple of hours each day. Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Pedro Gomez joins us every week, Sports360AZ.com. On the stream, that's pretty cool, Jared. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. So the deadline is about 50 hours away. And let's start nationally. Nationally, what do you expect? Who are the biggest names that you think will be traded by Thursday?
You know, you read the tea leaves, so to speak, and you read what Ben Cherington is saying, and John Lester probably will be the biggest name out there. He has been a Red Sox, you know, his whole career, pitched no-hitters for them, won World Series games for them. a huge, huge part of that Red Sox team. And, you know, you look at the Red Sox and you think, oh, they're one of the biggest payroll teams in all of baseball. And they are to a degree. But you look at the individual salaries of guys, they don't have anybody that is just through the stratosphere. And that's the plan up there. It's basically that the name on the front of the uniform matters more than the one on the back, and they'll get by if they keep to their plan. And right now, when you hear Ben Cherington talk, I think he's preparing the fan base for John Lester's departure. That's exactly what I think is happening.
Okay, so John Lester tied to the Dodgers in a deal for Matt Kemp. Does that make sense to you?
It does, in the sense that the Red Sox would be gaining, you know, an everyday outfielder, whether that be left field or center. You know, there's a lot of scouts that say that Kemp's days in center field are over. Fenway Park is one of the more unique stadiums, if not the most unique, in the sense that this has been said by previous GMs as well as scouts all over, right field at Fenway is the biggest right field in all of baseball. So what did they do last year? They went out and got Shane Victorino, and people were like, Shane Victorino, you've got Jacoby Ellsbury. What's going on? Well, you need another center fielder to play right field at Fenway because it is so massive. It goes back all the way to that bullpen, and it's just enormous. And it worked. And look what the Red Sox did last year. They won the whole World Series, you know, the whole thing. So even if Kemp can no longer play center, if you put him in right field as an ex-center fielder, that can benefit you if you're the Red Sox. So, you know, the Dodgers obviously have a logjam in the outfield. They've got to get rid of somebody. Kemp is probably the most logical piece to go, because he has been grumbling and he's gotten into some altercations with Don Mattingly and with Andre Ethier. And, you know, it makes it where, hey, it's time to go. It's time to part ways. So, and Lester, you know, you put Lester in the Dodgers rotation, even if it's only for 2 months, which, by the way, it would probably be for three, because they'd go deep into October.
Sure.
If you're throwing Kershaw, Greinke, Lester, Ryu, I mean, it's hard to believe they would not win the World Series with that rotation. So you've got to balance out what you get, what you don't. And the Dodgers may be gaining by getting rid of Matt Kemp at this point, at this stage.
Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. Let's focus in a little bit further on the Dodgers. So they put Puig in center the other night. If Puig, and I saw where he has a shriek of a whistle to let his teammates know that he's coming, but just the mere thought of him coming full speed into nailing somebody, take that out of it. Do you think he is a born center fielder, or is it because of all the bodies that the Dodgers have in the outfield that moving him to that position permanently would make the most sense, or do you just see him being put back in right?
You know, he could play all three. He's that athletic. So I could see him staying in center. I could also see him being a guy that could bounce back and forth. He's not somebody, you know, the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand is that when you play baseball in Cuba, you are there to play whatever they ask. Mm-hmm. You're not a right fielder, so to speak. You're not a third baseman only. It's wherever you're needed, that's where you're going. So he can play all three outfield positions. There's absolutely no doubt about that. You could probably put him at third base and he'd be okay there. You do get the feeling, though, you know, they've got that young kid, Joe Peterson, coming up, and everybody has just raved about what a tremendous center fielder he is. Supposedly, he is regarded as the best center fielder in the entire Dodgers organization. There's just no room for him at the big league level. So Puig is not going anywhere. Puig is a game-changing type of player, and the Dodgers are just going to live with his antics because of everything that he does on the field. So he's not going anywhere. The other guys are the ones that should be more worried about where they're going to end up, guys like Carl Crawford, Matt Kemp, Andre Ethier, because they're probably not in the plans for the Dodgers 2 years from now. And a lot of times, Brad, you and I know this, GMs will put up their roster for the next 3 years.
Right.
And they are already planning, okay, in 2016 or 2017, this is what our team will look like. And they're already doing that. And you can bet Puig is in each one of the next 3 years lineups for the Dodgers. I don't know necessarily that the other guys are.
Before I get over to the Diamondbacks, just to follow up on that and the Dodgers. So the Giants go get Jake Peavy, and it feels to me like every year the Giants go do something, whether it's offseason, regular season, that just makes a ton of sense. And the Dodgers are sitting over there. The two teams played over the weekend. The Dodgers had their way. As you're looking at the NL West, just those two teams, how big of a separation is there? And is there pressure on one of those two teams to do something of consequence before Thursday at 1?
You know, a lot of people are looking around and saying, well, when are the Dodgers going to do something? And usually when the Dodgers do something, it's not minor.
Right.
You remember the Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett trade 2 seasons ago. They don't do things small, this new ownership group. That's why someone like a John Lester, it would not shock a lot of people in baseball if Lester were to be a Dodger on Friday. And who knows, it might be Wednesday because he is scheduled to pitch Wednesday, and you can bet that the Dodgers would want that start. They would want they don't want to wait another 5 days, even if they get him on Thursday. They would want that start to be theirs. So the Giants probably are in more of need because they are the ones kind of taking on water. But I did see that Angel Pagan could be back next week. Now, if Pagan comes, that is almost like a midseason trade for them because Pagan is their catalyst. He is one of those just high-energy guys that bats lead off for them. And for whatever reason, they play much better when Pagan is in there. And it's because Pagan is such a good player. So if Pagan is healthy, that could be their midseason trade in addition to Jake Peavy. But adding Peavy, who is one of the top five clubhouse guys in all of baseball, this is a guy that is beloved by anybody who has ever come across him. And he's a winning type player. I mean, he went to the Red Sox last year, and even though he didn't have a major impact, he helped them win a World Series. He helped in September and October. So the Giants are hoping that maybe some of that is still in PV, and it certainly looks like it. He was hitting 95 on the gun last week, so he still has the velocity. The Dodgers, though, it would not surprise me at all if they're the ones making the earthquake-type move.
A couple questions on the Diamondbacks before we get out of here, talking to Pedro Gomez. So is there pressure on Kevin Towers to do something for his next job here in the next few days, or is it just you know what you're getting with Kevin Towers, and his body of work in Arizona is pretty much complete, capped off by the Justin Upton deal? Or do you see him having to do something here? Can he even do something here with La Russa looking him over?
Probably not. I think the die is probably cast one way or the other. And let's not think that Kevin Towers is gone. There is a very good possibility that Towers will still be the GM here next season.
Really?
I think so. I think there is.
Are you definitive on that?
I wouldn't say definitive. Of course not, because Tony La Russa is here, and you know, he's the new boss, and he may want change, of course. That, you know, a lot of times they do want change. But in the terms of a general manager, of a high-level general manager, you know, there's still a pretty good chance that Towers will be here, I think. And
you sound like you know something. And you're not telling me.
You know, you just hear people talk.
And these aren't just people, because I know you well enough.
No, this isn't like
the guy
at the Safeway on the corner.
No, I know you well enough. But you're kind of searching there and dancing around it a little bit.
You know, you hear things, and maybe they're okay. Here's the biggest thing. Maybe the Diamondbacks are tired of every 4 or 5 years hitting the reset button in terms of their front office.
They should be.
Of course they should. Towers had a very good run for about 15 years in San Diego.
Right.
That's a long run, and the Padres were a very competitive team for that time. So they may be in business of saying, you know what, we can't just keep hitting reset all the time. Let's maybe look for a little bit of stability here and see what happens. So it just would not surprise me if Towers were here. I'm not saying it's definitive.
Sure.
I don't make that call. But it wouldn't surprise people within the game if Towers is still here.
Is there a perception then that the Diamondbacks need to make deals and that they're just holding out for unrealistic expectations?
Well, every club is holding out for unrealistic expectations. And then you kind of shoot for the moon and say, okay, well, we only got this far, so let's take what we can get here. And that's the reality of all baseball trades. The Diamondbacks are not in a power position. They don't have a lot of leverage.
Sure.
They don't have a lot of leverage when it comes to trying to make a deal. So they're kind of hoping that another club likes something in their showroom and is willing to give them something of value. But the Diamondbacks are not in a position of leverage, so therefore they kind of have to wait to see if somebody needs something they have.
Okay, then before you get out of here, let me just be straight with you on a couple guys. Aaron Hill, yes or no, he's gone by the deadline?
I would say yes. Okay. And I think that a club like Baltimore, who maybe that would not surprise me right there.
Gerardo Parra.
Boy, doesn't make a lot of money, is still a valuable, doubtful.
Martin Prado, yes or no, gone by deadline?
Diamondbacks would have to eat some money, and they may be willing to do so. I would say that one is about a 40% chance.
My guy Trevor Cahill throwing tonight in Cincinnati. They have to eat a lot of money on Trevor Cahill.
Exactly. I would say less than 10%.
And I say my guy because I'm just done with him. And it's hard. It's painful to watch. I know what's going to happen tonight. It's going to be 4 2/3, 6 walks, couple strikeouts, 88 pitches, 5 earned runs or something like that. The game starts at 4:10. By 5:15, I'll be well on my way.
If he didn't have next year's contract, absolutely. Yeah. The fact that he's still under for $12 or $13 million next year makes it unlikely. Very, very unlikely.
Okay, I got to ask you this before you get out of here. La Russa's steroid stance over the weekend at the Hall of Fame, were you surprised?
No, I was talking to some people in baseball who said that, you know, you're now in the Hall of Fame and you're trying to protect your name. And what one person told me is, well, how come, okay, if in fact, and, you know, Sandy Alderson said he does not recall that conversation ever taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the general manager of the A's at the time. My question, and the question of this person who I spoke with high in the game said, well, did he do the same thing in St. Louis when McGuire was hitting 70 home runs?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always.
Okay, take care, Brad.
You got a Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, for a couple of minutes every week on the show. That was good stuff there. On the other side, I'm going to get into this Kevin Love thing a little bit further now that there's a new team involved. Also, one of the members of the College Football Playoff Committee, we haven't heard from these folks. You know, there's supposed to be a gang of like 12 or so. One of them spoke today about finding the top 4 teams for this coming college football season. I have to tell you, I'm not happy with this comment and where it's going, and so I'm going to get into that too. In about 30 minutes, Kevin Stevenson, Arizona United general manager, talk to the United every week. We talk USL Pro, MLS, and soccer in Arizona. That's in about 30 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Every day we partner with several places. And appreciate the partnerships of White Mountain Radio. Appreciate the partnership of AZ Central and AZ Central Sports. Good people there. In about 20 minutes, our weekly talk to United, AZ United SC. They're home this weekend against Sacramento on Saturday night. We'll talk with Kevin Stevenson, their general manager. There's some college football next week. Actually, 2 weeks from today, I'll be at Camp Tonizona. Nothing like doing shows at Camp Tonizona. When Eric comes back, I think he's coming back next week, although I saw more pictures of him swimming with sea turtles yesterday. Just the fact of him swimming with sea turtles, like he's going to come back in this completely worthless mode. Just, I'm in love. I'm married. Why did I wait so long? It'll be like, no, we have to go to Camp T. We have to do a show. On the stream right now, it's pretty cool. They actually have me at Camp Tonizona right now. That is awesome. You can check the stream out at sports360az.com. I like that. It's like I've got this broadcast perch. Todd Graham said, hey, why don't you come do the show down on the field? I'll put a line in for you down there. Problem is, when you do shows at Camp Tonizona, you just never know what's going to come rolling in the way of thunder and lightning. So I'll probably be, and I will be at Coles Ranch for sure. I might try and risk one show, just see how, and that'll be the day, because I've done shows at Camp T forever. There's this one day I'm out there, and it was right after the scrimmage. It was like 3 years ago, And there was a downpour of downpours. Like Noah would have been proud of this. He would have had the ark ready to go type of downpour. And I'm there with my little guy, who is, he's like six at the time. We're trying to make a run for it, and the lightning is just all around us and the thunder. And Todd Graham, myself, my son, Bruce Cooper, I'm trying to think if there's any other TV guys at the time. Might have been my buddy John Gustafson over at Channel 3. We got stuck. They have this tent in the corner at Camp Tonizona where they used to have, they think they still do some of the workouts under there. We're stuck under this tent because there's no way we can make a run for it because there's lightning all around us. And I'm thinking, so if we get hit, there's two sports guys in the valley that are gone. But more importantly, the head football coach is out of here too. He's checked out. So what are they going to do? And we're stuck. And this was not like a little 10-minute deal. If you decide to go to Camp Tonizona, I'll just give you a little parenting advice, guys. I do this thing with my kids, and I've done with all four of them. You are too well to attend school today. That's the way it is. You're too well to attend school. Thus, you're not going to go to school, or I'll show up at school and they think they're in trouble. And it's, no, you're just too well to attend today. Too well to attend school days equate to going to Camp T, because you can go up there in like an hour and a half. You can watch football. You can get away, go for a hike, go jump off some rocks, go down to Tillman Rock, tell them the story of Pat Tillman, jump off the rock. Even you U of A fans, all two of you in Arizona that pay attention to the football program, because all of you are a bunch of bandwagon basketball fans anyways, you could go there too and enjoy yourself and just get away from it all. So I'm really looking forward to being in Camp Tonizona. And we'll do quite a bit on Arizona State, and we'll be down in Tucson too. I think we're going to take the show to Tucson the following week. Eric's going to come back, and I'm going to tell him we're going to Camp T for a week because he doesn't know. And he's just going to be scared out of his mind. Like, I'm married now. I'm swimming with turtles. And you're going to put me out in the middle of thunder, lightning, and show that could drop off the air? Yeah, that's what this is. And if you don't like it, then just sit at home and watch your turtle video. When I saw the turtle video and the food truck stuff, it's like he's just giving me material that I'm going to crush him on when he gets back. And you guys should too. You really should just hammer him when he gets back here. Oh, turtle boy. He's going to come back like with board shorts and a tan, like a little tank top on with a turtle on it. Anyways, so Oliver Luck is part of the college football playoff committee. Oliver Luck, his son's pretty good. He's not a bad little quarterback, plays over with the Colts. Last time I checked, he didn't do half bad over at Stanford. Oliver Luck is one of the people that are going to decide who is in the top four for the college football playoff. And today he did an interview, and he said that the college football playoff committee is using, quote, the best and shying away from using most deserving when picking the top four. So best, what does best equate to from Brad Sussmat's point of view versus most deserving? Best means what will bring us the biggest amount of cash. Best means what will bring us the largest television rating number. Best means what is in the best interest of business rather than what's in the best interest of football. So using the most deserving when picking the top four means, well, if it's most deserving, then you should probably just invite Notre Dame now, because it doesn't matter if Notre Dame plays Navy or if Notre Dame is 6-5 and they're the commitment to mediocrity as they've been for all these years, for the most part. I'll give you 2 years ago. Irish fans always like to point out the 1 year where they do really well, and the rest of the years they just kind of have selective memory. So most deserving when picking the top four. That means Alabama should already be in it, and that means probably Texas A&M and Auburn. You might get an outside shot, at Oregon. But could you imagine, oh my gosh, the humanity of it, if the most deserving ended up being Oregon, Stanford, Arizona State. I know you UCLA fans and USC fans are like, there's no way that's going to happen. Okay, what if it was UCLA and Oregon and Stanford? Or you're going to say, well, you can't have two teams from the Pac-12 in the same division. You could if it's most deserving. If the two teams play one another and it's a 10-9 final score and they play close to a draw, they're in the top four. So as I'm looking at this, the word best coming from one of the members on the playoff committee versus most deserving is not good at all. It'll be great for me because I'll sit here every week and say, who's best versus most deserving? Now we have this big old line in there. And there's some people who have already looked at the college football playoff committee and said, well, they're going to screw it up anyways. They have a woman in there, Condoleezza Rice. Let me tell you something. Condoleezza Rice, one of the smartest people, and I've heard many interviews with her on sports, and she's really good. I have no problem with a female in position of power. It's like the NBA Players Union last night hires a woman. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all. So, you know, when I see comments like best and not most deserving, it's not going to lead down the right path. It could be, well, we needed to have LSU, Auburn, Alabama, and Notre Dame. Because outside of Ohio State and maybe Michigan, if Michigan beats Ohio State, you guys know this in the Big Ten, forget it. In the Big 12, if we're using best as a model, who's going to bring the most television ratings out of the Big 12? Oklahoma? Come on. Are you hearing yourself? So I'm kind of concerned on this front. Then there's the Kevin Love story. So Kevin Love, actually, I'll get to that on the other side. I'll get to Kevin Love here in a minute. I want to go a little bit further on this one. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Somebody yesterday was watching the show and asked me, do you read off of a teleprompter when you talk about Santan Ford? Do you have notes in front of you when you talk about Santan Ford? And my response was, no, because I drive a Ford Fusion. My wife drives a Ford Expedition. We're actually looking to get into a Ford Explorer. I actually go to Santan Ford to get my oil changed. I actually do talk to Tim Hovick, their general manager, every couple of weeks. I do swing in there and see John Bernath over at sales or service, I should say. And I'll see Big Bob Johnson and others. I don't just sit here and read stuff and get a check. It's not the way this works in my world. I do this because I'm a Santan Ford person, a Santan Ford fan. It is all about you. I've seen them take care of good people. I've seen them take care of people that have been in tough spots too. It's kind of cool when you see them go that extra mile. So when you're looking for that new car or that used vehicle, you're looking for that car, that truck, you know, we're back into the season now where you're kind of like me in some respects, some of you are, I'm sure, where you're running to practices or you've got to go here or go there. Or you want to have a flexibility vehicle. So when you're out on the weekends, take that car, that truck, put your golf clubs in the back, head up to the high country or maybe head over to the coast with your boogie boards. Stop on into Santan Ford and talk to General Manager Tim Hovick and company. They do it right. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. We talk about Kevin Love on the other side, something about Tiger Woods that caught my eye, and a little bit more about our police blotter events of last night that had me grumpy today, too. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I was talking with an NBA guy last night about the Kevin Love deal. This is somebody whose opinion I trust and respect, and he's of the opinion that the story that came out last night about Philadelphia and Minnesota trying to get Kevin Love and that Thaddeus Young's name is being involved, it's just all leverage at this point. And the Timberwolves are going to float a bunch of names out there. And that when the day comes to make the deal, that it will be Kevin Love that will be heading to the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is somebody whose opinion I respect. Love left Team USA workouts yesterday. So when you see a player that does that, that means we don't want you to get hurt. So please get off the floor, go lay on your couch, go lay on the beach, do something, anything other than play basketball, because we don't want you to get hurt because we're going to trade your butt. And if he ends up going to Cleveland, as this person suggested, this is an NBA guy that I really like. It's going to make more sense when the deal is completely done and Wiggins is involved in it versus what Chicago has been putting out there or Golden State's been putting out there. And my whole thing is, why haven't the Suns have just added some bit part players, in my opinion. If you're going to have a title contending team, you can add some nice role players, some bit part guys. We pointed out this year that I thought the Miami Heat did a poor job of building up their bench this year. They didn't have enough talent. And when it came time in the finals, we saw full well that it was LeBron James, essentially, and an older, aging Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh playing out of position. In my view, they didn't have enough. And so they didn't have enough on their bench. The Suns are adding some nice pieces of players, but they are so far away from being a title contending team. And so when guys come up, like Kevin Durant's going to come up here in a couple of years, and already there's teams that are putting their pieces in place, Washington's one for Durant. The Suns, I don't know what they're trying to angle towards here, because the window with Goran Dragic is going to close. We see what's going on with Bledsoe. Nobody can convince me that Bledsoe is going to be happy regardless of how this whole thing plays out. It's just not, because the Suns aren't giving him max money. And as he's sitting here in Arizona, I just think we're dealing with a player that is going to be looking at his first chance to get out of here. So with Love in Philadelphia, I had seen these notes last night from some of you about, well, now Philadelphia is on Kevin Love. What are the Suns doing? I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you why it is that they haven't been attached. They made a play. At least they got on a plane and flew to Cleveland on LeBron, but they never were in the conversation, it sounds like, from a serious standpoint. They had the assets. They had the cap space. We can sit here and say, we have all that you want. Hello, we're over here. We would love to have you here. But if you're not getting the response, then you're going to be that team that just sits on the outside of the playoffs like we saw this last season and maybe have that run where you get to be the fifth or sixth seed and you hope you upset somebody with the third pick. A third playoff position. You're so far away still from the title contending teams. And I'm willing to give the general manager and the coach 3 years, 4 years here, because the thing was that far run down and off the tracks. So we're a year and a half into this. They still haven't been able to attract a big time free agent. They have what they've claimed. They have assets, but clearly they don't have the assets to go get Kevin Love. And that's disappointing to me, because it goes back to all the previous mistakes and previous missteps that the organization made for years and years. And it felt like they were just asleep at the switch. So Kevin Love will move on, and then it'll be, well, let's turn our attention to this guy and that guy. And have you developed enough? The assets that I see here, not just the cap space, you have some young players, a lot of young draft picks. But they're going to need to develop in order to go get a superstar type of player. I want a superstar here. I'm not being greedy. I'm not being selfish. I don't want a bunch of bit guys and role players. And that's what I've got here right now. Goran Dragic is as close as it's going to be. And he's at the height now. And you can't have two guys in your backcourt that you're paying all this money to, if in fact Bledsoe believes he's worth that amount. A year from now, I don't think we're talking about Eric Bledsoe here in Arizona. So the Kevin Love story is going to come and go. And from there, you're going to say, okay, they missed out on another one. It's disappointing. On the Cardinals end of things, so Sam Acho, I think, is a really good story here in camp. Sam Acho is somebody who last season, he gets hurt. He misses the game. He goes away from the game. And he realizes how much he loved the game. Happens all the time. It's a story we've heard about repeatedly. I was emceeing an event with Sam Acho. It was the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Fiesta Bowl breakfast. Sam was the guest speaker. Spoke for about 30 minutes. Spoke in a way that I had not seen Sam Acho speak before, about his love, his passion for the game, his faith, and other things. It's fine. Here is Sam Acho now, somebody that I'm keeping an eye on here in camp, somebody that I'm rooting for. Yeah, he's a real nice, personable guy. I think he's a pretty darn good football player, too. Here's Sam Acho on his new lease on Football Life.
Yeah, I have a new lease on Football Life right now because it's just an opportunity to play. Simple as that. A lot of guys don't have this opportunity to be able to play. You know, it is a game that we love, but once you get it taken away from you, you realize how much you really do love it.
Sam Acho on this first long-term injury that he suffered.
That was my first time being sidelined, having an injury that kept me out for, I think, any games, really. And so, you know, most guys get injuries, you play through them, but obviously broken legs you can't play through. This is the longest I've been sidelined, and that's why I'm really eager just to get back out there.
He was going after Drew Brees, and you know, you're in New Orleans, that's not an easy place to play, and it ends up happening. But now he has a new mentality on the field.
It's a really basic level happiness and a really basic level joy. I don't really need too much. I just want to go out there. And I think when you have that mentality and that mindset, you're going to work harder. You're going to do better. And you're going to be able to show yourself even more.
So that's somebody I'm keeping an eye on. And, you know, training camp, I've said over and over, I'm not big on the length of it. But that's a guy that, as camp goes on, I see the purpose for a guy like Sam Acho. I want to see him come back and show that he can play down in, down out, or be a serviceable rotation guy on the Cardinals' defensive side of the football. Here's Bruce Arians after practice, what happens when the pads are on.
When that noise level goes up, people change. You know, there's a lot of guys who look really good in shorts, and all of a sudden the noise level goes up and they disappear. And guys that don't look very good in shorts, all of a sudden they appear because they're football players. That's what you want to see. You want to see those guys rise up. Interested to see all the young guys and, you know, and a couple of veterans. We have so much competition on this team right now, it's going to be fun to watch it practice.
And their first game is a week from this Saturday. It's amazing. We actually have preseason football this weekend. We have the Hall of Fame this weekend with Aeneas Williams going in, so I definitely am going to watch that. Kind of interested on the speech from Aeneas as to who is he going to single out, what were his lowest moments, if he's going to address that. He's usually a very upbeat guy. You know, some of the other players going in, Michael Strahan, I'm fine, Michael Strahan. Derek Brooks, very good player. Ray Guy, to me, is interesting because he's now broken through with his position. Those of you that are under the age of 40 probably haven't heard of Ray Guy. Ray Guy, without Ray Guy, the punt game would not have changed as it did. Ray Guy really transcended the kicking game. He really did and was terrific at his position. I did see, too, in Vegas, the Cardinals are 7.5 on the over-under for wins this year up on the board. 7.5. Do I take 7.5 for the Arizona Cardinals over-under for the coming season? I'm probably going to take, gosh, that's a tough one. That's not easy. Probably going to go over. Being a bit of a homer on this one, but probably going to go over as long as Carson stays on the field and stays healthy. One other thing that caught my eye today, Tiger Woods spoke at the Deutsche Bank Championships. He's playing this week. And he's this week is at Firestone. Next week is the PGA Championship. And Tiger, of course, was just awful last time out playing at the Open Championship. Very good the first day and then just not good the rest of the time. 215th right now in the FedEx Cup points. But Tiger said that he got away from the game after the Open Championship and he played putt-putt with his kids. Went out and played golf with his kids. Quote, "We had a good little time," Wood said of his vacation with girlfriend Lindsey Vonn and his two kids. "We toured a little bit and even played a little putt-putt, which I won every single time." Of course you won every single time. I'm trying to think back to when I started letting my kids win. Did I ever let my kids win? Gosh, I don't know. I was one of those jerky dads that just, we're playing Monopoly. I didn't let them win. That's not life. Go play basketball. You try and shoot over someone that's 6'8 and you're 5'1 and you're 6. You stuff the shot. It's the way it goes. No, I mean, but I played a little putt-putt, which I won every single time. This could be Wood's most disappointing season of his professional career. He's so far back in the playoff points. He needs to win at either Bridgestone or the PGA Championship just to secure a spot in the Barclays. So this is going to be a story that I'll be watching this weekend. I can already look ahead. This will be as dry as the last month or so has been in sports. This coming weekend, I'm going to have Tiger on golf, and the ratings this year have been awful on the PGA. For those of you that don't like Tiger, then you just don't like golf because the ratings have been abysmal. And I'm going to have preseason football, which, you know, I'll watch for a nanosecond, but I'll have the speeches at the Hall of Fame, which will be really cool. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, And we're on Twitter, too, at Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content up on Sports 360 AZ right now. I have a column about social media and PJ Tucker and John Abraham's arrests, tying it all together. SMH over Tucker and Abraham. Jordy Ham's got a story up on the Arizona Cardinals' Bobby Massey. Wow, look at him. Wally Pippen, Eric. We have some news, the recruiting roundup that Jared Cohen's working on today with Jason Jewell, high school, college, pro football, and much more. Check it out, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Off we go into hour number two on sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. And, of course, on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content right now up on Sports 360 AZ. And let me get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Have you flown out of Gateway before? Gateway Airport, it is simple. Nearly 40 locations that Allegiant Air flies to. You can get on out of Gateway Airport. It's smaller. It's convenient. The price is right. You can fly direct into Las Vegas. You can fly direct into the Bay Area, into Oakland. Head on up to Eugene, Oregon. I'm going to fly on Allegiant into Rockford, Illinois. Take my daughter off to college here in a couple of weeks. It's on Allegiant Air just outside of Chicago I can get into at a great price and simple and easy to get around. It is just plain easy. Go to justplaineasy.com. That is Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ. Coming up on 3 years now. We've been doing this. Walked away from Channel 3. Walked away from big radio, big media. And it's all right cheer in your phone, and it's just grown and grown, and appreciate all the support of all of our sponsors and people that have jumped on board with us. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports here before we talk United and walk United, as we do every Tuesday. Kevin Stevenson will be in for Michael Dello Russo today in a couple of minutes, the Arizona United general manager. So today, tonight, the Diamondbacks are in play. Trevor Cahill is going tonight. He's 1-7. He's 0-5 in his last six starts. The deadline is this week. I'll tell you right now, it'll go like 3 2/3, 4 1/3. I don't know, 6-7 hits, couple walks, one strikeout, 4 runs, and it'll be a rough night. That's just how it's been watching him pitch this season. On the Cardinals front, I've been distracted today because of the PJ Tucker and John Abraham arrests. I have to tell you, I've got a column up on Sports 360 shaking my head over Tucker and Abraham arrests. When you're out and you decide that you don't need a driver and you don't know how to say, I don't need another drink, and you're John Abraham, and this happens to him at the end of June, and now it comes out, and then you're PJ Tucker, and this happened to him back in May, and it didn't come out till last night. PJ Tucker checked in with a blood alcohol content of 2.22. 0.08 is considered legally drunk in Arizona. It's beyond ridiculous. And this is a second time for Abraham. He had a DUI back in 2003. And so I'm just disgusted today on both fronts. You know, the fact that PJ Tucker gets a super extreme DUI. One DUI is not any worse than the other in some people's opinions, but I don't know. When you see the number and you're almost three times above, and then they do the check on him, and he stumbled and caught himself on a construction fence. I mean, come on. It's disgusting. On the field, you know, the Cardinals went through their first round yesterday of having the pads on. Everybody's excited about that. First preseason game comes up in a couple of weeks. Eric Winston, former Cardinal right tackle, signs today with Seattle. Means Bobby Massey probably better work out at right tackle. Kevin Love, Philadelphia, getting involved in the Kevin Love sweepstakes with Thaddeus Young. Some of the things on my mind brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. Time now to walk United. Every Tuesday, we talk AZ United SC. United is home this Saturday night, 7:30 against Sacramento. Today in the hot seat is Kevin Stevenson, Arizona United general manager. He joins us for a couple of minutes. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, Brad. How's it going?
Another day, another show, as I would say, but I'm a little grumpy today. I'm just a little off today, and it happens from time to time. I'm sorry about that, but I appreciate you coming on board. So, general manager of a professional soccer franchise, how did this come to be for you?
Well, I moved out here in 2008 to work for the Suns. Was there for about 5 years, and then – met Kyle Ang, our owner. Was actually trying to sell him courtside seats at the Suns. You know, we met and got to talking and found out that he had worked for my dad 20 years ago. And, you know, we kind of just hit it off. So I was actually working with Kyle for about 6 to 8 months with his advertising agency. We got connected with USL Pro and started having some conversation with them initially about doing some work for them on the advertising front. And I actually know their commissioner very well, Alec Papadakis. I went to college with his son. And it just kind of came about that there was an opportunity for Kyle to buy the team. And he did it. He pulled the trigger. I was kind of ready and willing and available to do it. Now we're in almost August. So it's been a crazy 6 months, but it's been a lot of fun.
You're a soccer guy though, first and foremost, right? Captain at Duke on the soccer team.
Yeah. I've played all the way up through college. So, absolutely love the sport.
When did you first start to think I've got general manager skills about me? Was it from dad? Was it from being around the sport? I mean, collecting talent, procuring talent, signing talent. When did you think you had that in you?
you know, that's a great question. I don't know if there was ever like this, moment in time. I've just always been a sports nut. I was a kid that didn't really play with toys. I was playing with soccer balls, basketballs, footballs, baseballs. So I've always just kind of been a sports nut and have followed obviously since I've graduated from Duke, I've followed the sport of soccer pretty closely and just, you know, kind of managed to work out with Kyle. So I don't know if there was a moment in time, but very fortunate and very, very happy I was able to step in and do the best job possible to try and put this thing together, in about a month's time.
We're talking with Kevin Stevenson, Arizona United general manager, United SC in action this Saturday night at home, 7:30, Peoria Sports Complex against Sacramento. Get on out there, support United, walk United. It's a good time. I do their games. It's a lot of fun. It's great to see the sport grow. Being here over 20 years, this is a group that's committed to winning. I like the direction they're going, and they're going at it at a great rate. I'm curious about Duke soccer. So I've heard all about Duke basketball. Who hasn't? Okay. Duke lacrosse, I've heard about Duke lacrosse. Obviously, Coach Cutcliffe is doing a great job with Duke football. Where's Duke soccer rank, and is it a national deal? I mean, I've seen it ranked, but is it a national view the same way as Duke basketball?
Well, obviously Duke basketball can be categorized in kind of a league of their own. I think in some instances they're almost like a professional program. But, you know, we had a great 4 years when we were there. We won the ACC tournament twice. We went to the Final Four once. We're ranked number one a couple times in the country. Obviously Duke's a great school and I guess there's some magnetism there with, you know, athletes and kids that want to go to a good university that's also competitive, in the particular sport that they play. Duke's also has a great women's field hockey team. And so they're successful in a lot of different, sports, that they have.
Attracting Michael Della Russo. Michael's come here and has been a huge shot of credibility from hitting the ground running. Tell me how that came about, that you focused in on him to take over this program.
I think first and foremost, Brad, was I was looking for a great teammate, somebody that I know that, you know, I could come in and work my tail off for them and they would work their tail off for me. And that's the sentiment and feeling I got from Mike right away, was that he was going to come in and work his butt off for us. I told him that I'm not going to have all the answers, and I know that he's not going to have all the answers, but we've committed to learning and not making the same mistake twice and putting the best product on the field possible. Mike has a great understanding of what we're trying to accomplish with this organization. He understands the business side of things a little bit, and so that really helps. especially when we're a first-year professional soccer team in USL Pro. And obviously coming from Maryland, a lot of credibility there with how successful they are year in, year out with their men's soccer program.
I just like his even-keeled approach, just dealing with him and even seeing him out on the field. It's kind of like, we're here for a business deal, okay? And let's just get through the business, and let's handle our business in the way that we should, which is professionally, and comport ourselves. There's not a sense of first-year organization that I've seen so far. And that's talk show guy coming to general manager. That's not play-by-play guy coming to general manager. You know what I mean? I mean, it's
you guys have
comported yourselves in a way that's completely different than any previous soccer franchise that's rolled through here that's usually gone within a year. And it's really hurt the state, not just up here in Maricopa. It's hurt the state. I know they have some success in Tucson, some big success in Tucson, but I think you guys have come in with a completely different mindset, and I sense it's taking root and taking hold here. How have you found Arizona as a soccer state?
I mean, the sport's everywhere. Like you just said, look down in Tucson. I mean, that's probably the best, or if not one of the best, well-run PDL programs in the country. And then there's obviously great youth clubs here in the Valley. I think there's a lot of opportunity here to get behind an organization like ourselves. And what we wanted to do was just come in and put a product on the field that people respect, that people appreciate. We're in a dogfight right now in the playoffs, but we wanted our fans to be kind of proud of what we're trying to accomplish, and it's not easy. But I think we have a great group on the field, we have a great group in the office, and we're just going to keep staying the course and trying to grow this beautiful game here in Arizona.
I'm got something on you, Kevin. So it's not pretty. So my understanding is, and Kevin Stevenson is the general manager of AZ United SC. So he's the general manager of a soccer franchise, but he also works at an advertising agency that Kyle Ng owns. It's Arrowhead Advertising. So my understanding is that you actually have modeled or acted now in a Meineke commercial. Am I right about that?
I don't know if you can call it modeling.
Modeling. I hear it's modeling. I hear it's modeling.
Yeah, you could probably call it some basic acting.
Yeah.
Now that's correct. That the rumor is true.
Yeah. So you don't have your SAG card yet, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
That means you stick to being a general manager. Don't screw up.
I won't. I'll do my best not to.
I'll see you on Saturday night. I appreciate your time and jumping on board for a couple of minutes. I think you guys have done a tremendous job here in year one. And sometimes, Kevin, you don't realize how far you've come in just 4 months. And in 4 months' time, to see where you guys are is truly remarkable. So thanks for jumping on board.
Yeah, Brad, it means a lot. And obviously we'll see you Saturday. And come on out, folks, August 2nd against the Sacramento Public. Thanks again, Brad.
You got it. Kevin Stevenson there, Arizona United SC general manager for a couple of minutes. Every week we talk United for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time.